Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
Your host, Beth Ann.
And I welcome you today to CSE Talk Radio. It is my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. Let's go. I'm really excited about today's show. Let's go straight to the Lord in prayer and get on with the show today. For such a time as this, we praise you, O God, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for forgiving nature and your patience with your children. I ask, Abba Father, that you place your hand of protection on this nation. We are in such turmoil and unrest. We are so very lost. Remove the scales from our eyes that we can see the truth and use common sense in all things. Let us see your great works in this land, and may we be good and faithful stewards of all your gifts. This land is truly flowing with milk and honey. May we use our gifts wisely. And Father, thank you. Thank you for those who are using the wisdom you gave them for the betterment of all. I ask that your hedge of protection be around our president. Guide him, Father, and keep him safe and his family as well. I know not his heart, but I know that he has sacrificed to be in the position of leading this nation back to common sense. And Father, he can always use more wise and godly counsel, and I pray that you will give that to him and he will accept it. These times seem uncertain, but you, O God, are our constant. May we always seek your will and follow your ways. For such a time as this, I pray. Amen. A former Vice President Joe Biden said yesterday, foolishly, pushing the climate change theory, how many suburbs will be burned in wildfires if climate arsonist Trump is reelected? Trump isn't causing wildfires, nor is he the cause of our wonderful pandemic. He isn't pushing a new normal, and he isn't encouraging riots in the streets or hate of our police officers. All the blame and fear-mongering does nothing to better America. In fact, it does the opposite. Will common sense prevail? I believe it will, but sometimes we must learn the hard way. As Mama used to say, we have to go to the school of hard knocks before we learn what we need to know. We've been sharing here with you on CSE Talk Radio for years now. In fact, even through my former boss with Derry Brownfield Show, that the wildfires are due to the lack of proper management and have become dangerous tinderboxes ready to explode in vicious flames upon the slightest spark. While AOC actually tweeted a picture of the fires a couple of weeks ago, and she stated, this is what climate change looks like, we know that's not the truth. It did my heart good to hear our president tell them a couple of weeks back, clean the floor of the forests. And yesterday, even Governor Newsom actually had to admit to poor management of the forests. Hopefully this truth will spread like the wildfires and people will begin to understand, care and respect for the land, and it'll take care of you. I've grown to have such a great respect for all those wise fellows at CO2 Coalition that it just does my heart good every time I have one of them on the air. And today I'm happy to host Mark Mills. Mark Mills is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and faculty fellow at the Northwestern University's McCormick School of Engineering and Applied Science, where he co-directs an Institute of Manufacturing Science and Innovation. He is also a strategic partner with Cottonwood Venture Partners, an energy tech venture fund. Previously, he co-founded Digital Power Capital, a boutique venture fund, and was chairman and CTO of ICX Technologies, helping take it public in 2007. Mills is a regular contributor to Forbes.com and is the author of Digital Cathedrals, Work in the Age of Robots. He also authored The Bottomless Well, The Twilight of Fuel, and The Future of Waste, and Why We Will Never Run Out of Energy. His articles have been published in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and Real Clear. Mills has appeared as guests on CNN, Fox, NBC, PBS, and The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And now I can add CSC Talk Radio to that. In 2016, Mills was named Energy Writer of the Year by the American Energy Society. Earlier, Mills was a technology advisor for Bank of America Securities and co-author of Huber Mills Digital Power Report, a tech investment newsletter. He has testified before Congress and briefed numerous state public service commissions and legislators. Mills served in the White House Science Office under President Ronald Reagan and subsequently provided science and technology policy counsel to numerous private sector firms, the Department of Energy, and U.S. research laboratories early in his career. Early in his career, Mills was an experimental physicist and development engineer at Bell Northern Research at the RCA David Sarnoff Research Center on microprocessors, fiber optics, missile guidance, earning several patents for his work. He holds a degree in physics from Queen University in Ontario, Canada. Mark Mills, welcome to CSE Talk Radio. I guess you've been at this a little while, haven't you?
Man, you could have shortened that introduction.
Yeah, well, you know, if you got it, flaunt it, my friend.
I mean, having worked for Ronald Reagan today for many people is the equivalent when I was younger, having people tell me that they worked for Taft. I don't know. It just seems like a long time ago.
Well, yeah, you know, there's been a lot of things that were a long time ago. I read an article earlier today, and several of them I skimmed. I have to emphasize, I skimmed the articles you sent me. But my daughter-in-law and I were talking last week. Well, she's a teacher. I've got two of them that are teachers, and they were talking about some of the changes from the pandemic, you know. And I read an article here that was talking about the changes in the pandemic. And one thing she was saying that in the classroom now they have their desks all in rows, you know, and then they're spread out, you know. Apparently, I'm looking at her. I go, wow, that sounds familiar.
Because
that's how we had to sit in class, assigned seats and in rows. And
yeah, what a shock! What a shocking idea!
I know. It was a terrible thing. I'm looking at her. I'm going, huh? You know, that just might work out.
Might even be better.
It could be better than my I probably shouldn't say that. I probably got teachers listening. Then all the chaos that goes on in the classrooms now with all the children that have the ADD and all this and that, you know, that they're allowed to get up and run around, and usually it's a little better if we keep them sat down.
Yeah, having been one of those young males primary school classes where I was jumping up and running around but forced to sit down by stern teachers, I can report in hindsight that was a good thing that I was forced to sit down.
Well, I think they've served you well. It sounds like you've had quite the career. And, you know, I mean it when I talk about the CO2 Coalition. They were like, they were like a big find for me when I stumbled on them through Patrick Michaels. And it's just amazing to know that the truth is getting out there and people have the truth in front of them. And I just appreciate all of you there at CO2 Coalition. And thank you for using CSC Talk Radio to come on and share the truth. I hear the music. We're heading into our first break. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I have Mark Mills with me today. CO2 Coalition, I encourage you to go to their website, co2coalition.org. We're going to talk about our energy. We're going to talk about the CO2 in the air and the wildfires and the pandemic. We're going to hit it all in this hour. Mark and Beth Ann will be right back.
I'm lost as a feather in a hurricane. There's no way to measure how far I am from my heart.
Made in America is more than just a slogan. It's a brand we all look for to better this nation's economy. Liberty Tabletop is the brand of Sherrill Manufacturing. The only manufacturer of flatware in the United States of America, Liberty Tabletop creates high-quality flatware at a competitive price using the finest quality 1810 chromium nickel stainless steel. Oh, and by the way, the steel they use is also made in the USA. The steel is tested for lead and other toxic trace elements, so you bring to your family a safe and pure product that will last for generations. Setting your table is an important part of every meal. The patterns you choose say something about you and your family. Bringing America home with LibertyTabletop.com or go to my website, csetalkradio.com, and click on their link. Call Liberty Tabletop at 844-386-2338. Use the promo code BethAnn and receive 10% off your purchase. LibertyTabletop.com. Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. Our founding fathers knew that the heartland would be coveted by those who want the land and its resources, or hated by those who simply do not understand its value. It is that simple. And yet today, the humble folks in the heartland are losing jobs and feeling the pressures from an out-of-control bureaucracy as well as outsiders with agendas. From the heartlands of America come our food, manufacturing, and our energy. CSC Talk Radio is a voice crying from the heartland and standing up for rural America, and so is Power the Future. Power the Future is a unique foundation established to be the voice for rural American energy jobs. Daniel Turner is a strong advocate pushing against those who would like to punish rural folks and take their jobs for the sake of climate change or the land and its wealth. I'm proud to be a part of Power the Future and bring Daniel Turner here to you. Our future depends on it. Let's power the future as we bring America home to common sense jobs and give our rural families a voice. Visit powerthefuture.us. Powerthefuture.us is the way to bring America home. We have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Mark Mills of the CO2 Coalition. And we gave his long intro about all the things that he has done. So he's been at this for quite a while. You know, Mark, when I had Bruce Everett on just a couple of months ago, he was talking about the brownout that was going on while he was even on the air with me. He was in California visiting grandchildren, he said. And you know, I've got the article here that you've written, The Green Energy Oversees Independence. And I watched your video that you did for Prager University, and it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. You know, I think that we've been fed a lot of stories and half-truths and some just out-and-out lies. But I want to put America at ease, that we really don't need to panic. And we don't need to worry about running out of energy unless we all go green. And then we're going to run out of energy. So I want to talk about this green energy overseas dependence and what you're talking about in that particular article.
Sure. Yeah, just for clarification, I'm not part of the CO2 Coalition, although I know them and love those guys.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They certainly facilitated my joining you, which I am delighted that they did. But just a point of clarification. Not representing them. But I do represent the same worldview. So be clear about
got
that.
It.
It's an interesting time we live in, to say the least. I mean, between the
in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, That's the old Chinese curse, right? May you live in interesting times. But the drumbeat to believe that there is an essential need for a, quote, energy transition has converted into the claim that it's happening anyway, that this magic new green tech energy is going to replace hydrocarbons, oil, gas, and coal. Inevitably, just like, and you know the way it's being phrased explicitly, it's just like cell phones replaced landline, and that that inevitable tech transition is now happening in energy, and that we should just get out of the way, or in fact we should facilitate it, and that we have to do it because the climate's changing and we have to do something about that. So it's this bundle, this melange of myths and tropes. And it's hard to untangle them, frankly. It really is a mess. Climate and weather are different things. The world's climate always changes. It is changing. It is my good friends who are very knowledgeable about climate science. I'm knowledgeable about it. I'm not a climate scientist, but I've been following this issue for decades. The world is, in fact, a little warmer. This is indisputable. I mean, no one disputes that, not even the, quote, so-called deniers, right, this horrible construct that the left has created.
And that's what I am. I'm one of those.
Right. Well, you know.
but we're not in an ice age, so it just makes common sense that we're going to warm up.
Well, the world went from what's called the middle optimum during the Middle Ages, a very warm period, which helped facilitate agricultural growth. It had vineyards in southern Greenland, and that had nothing to do with human beings causing it. And then we went into a mini ice age, which coincidentally caused a lot of famine and slow growth and death and pestilence because of harder to survive in cold temperatures. Then it started getting warmer again in the 19th century, and the world is a little warmer. The question that scientists are debating is the extent to which human beings contribute to that through their activities. And there's clearly some contribution. I mean, that's what the greenhouse gas effect is. But that is indeed, it may sound heretical to say it, in fact, in the science community, that is a debatable issue. It's not a settled science. But, you know, climate effects are long. They're long cycle things. So the extent to which we're seeing weather patterns that we think are different today, the extent to which they are caused by anything, if they're caused by any human activity, it's not by the current president. It would have been caused by previous presidents, you know, from Obama and prior to that, because these are long cycle events. You don't change the planet's climate overnight. Whether it's nature doing it or, you know, God's influence or us, you just don't. It doesn't happen overnight. So there's sort of a logical fallacy to saying that California fires are a consequence of, quote, climate change from Trump's policies. It's fallacious on every level possible. However, the idea that, we might produce energy in different ways, we could, is true. We can. I mean, nuclear power is different than anything in human history. Right. The discovery of oil changed the world, as did natural gas. Solar arrays and wind turbines are better than they ever been and have value. There's no question they have value. There's a role for a lot of ways of producing energy. But the idea that there's some profound change underway and it's happening rapidly is just demonstrably not the case. Arithmetically, the Western world has spent something close to $1 trillion subsidizing wind solar technologies in the last 15 years or so. It's a lot of money, and the world now gets about 3% of its energy from wind and solar, 3% after hundreds of billions of dollars of subsidies.
Wow.
And that 3%, in fact, costs more than energy that would be otherwise produced from hydrocarbons. It's cheaper than it was a decade ago, but it clearly still costs more despite, vigorous assertions otherwise reported in the popular media. It's expensive energy. It's cheaper than it used to be. You know, electric cars are more expensive than internal combustion engine cars. They're cheaper than they used to be, better than they used to be. But it is one of these old adages where, the sort of trivialization that you should be able to walk and chew gum or pat your stomach and rub your head. I mean, holding two thoughts.
We practiced that a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's odd time to have these debates because when I say what I said about where wind and solar are, which is what people think the transition's about, And, you know, well, you know, we have to do more. We have to speed it up. Okay. Just how much money do you want to see? It doesn't mean you can't do some things. How much money do you want to spend? How many subsidies do you want to give? How much wealth transfer do you want to take from the middle class and poor and give to the rich? Because this is a wealth transfer that's going on. This is a epic form of kleptocracy that the world hasn't seen in a long time.
You know, in this article, we talk about the minerals that are needed for all the batteries, and I kind of wanted to hit on that with my listeners.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we've talked about the rare earth minerals before, but let's hit on it a little bit harder today.
Sure.
As to the expense and what it's really, you know, when I was reading your article, I had to kind of chuckle because last year or the year before, I think it was last year, AOC was taking her picture, you know, and she was taking a picture of an empty field, and she was actually being sarcastic about the Electoral College. But then I'm thinking she's in her SUV going down the road and using her cell phone to snap this picture. And I'm going to turn that over to you.
Which one costs us more? all those things require minerals to be extracted from the earth and using energy to convert them into a product, from, you know, semiconductors and radios and cell phones to the, you know, tires on the car, truck, and the steel. So here's the odd thing that people somehow have in their heads, that a battery-powered car is powered by sort of magic unobtainium that just appears out of nowhere. Everything, all energy sources are free. Oil's free, wind's free. It's just there. How you think it got there is, you know, a theological and philosophical discussion, but it's just there. But you pay money to get access to all energy sources by getting access to the land where they are, whether it's wind or sun or oil under the ground. And then you have to build machines for non-renewable minerals to convert the nature's energy into useful power for humanity. So the interesting question, the important one, is how much stuff do we have to dig out of the earth to make those machines to produce the same unit of energy? So let's use the electric car, for example. It doesn't burn oil directly. You still burn oil to make the car somewhere and make the batteries, but let's just skip that. The battery in an electric car weighs about 1,000 pounds, half a ton. Most people don't really focus on that. It's not the starter battery.
I did not know that. That was
half
astonishing for me.
Yeah, that's what the battery was, half a ton. To make that half-ton battery, to fabricate it, never mind putting electricity in it, to fabricate the half-ton battery, you have to dig out of the earth, move and process and refine about 500,000 pounds of materials. So half-ton battery requires about 250 tons of stuff to be dug out of the earth to make that battery. That's an environmental issue. And most of the mining is done overseas. So we import the minerals instead of producing our own oil and gas. And we disturb the earth.
I would hit that when we come back. I hear the music. We're headed into a break because I want to know a little bit more about that. I had no idea that those batteries weighed that much. I'm thinking of a car battery. Thinking, well, you know, they're heavy, but they're not that heavy. I can lift one. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. We're visiting today with Mark Mills. Today's show is brought to you by the CO2 Coalition. I encourage you to visit their website, co2coalition.org. And Mark and Beth Ann, we're going to be right back. There is no fake news allowed. The cold, hard facts are what's happening in the West as well as where you are. Range Magazine's over 25 years of experience covers news that you'll never hear on mainstream media. As the winner of 4 consecutive Freedom of the Press Awards, Range Magazine is true to its written word. Journalism is not dead. Truth lives in Range Magazine. Don't miss the great stories, photos, and art that is featured in each of the Range magazines. Call 1-800-RANGE-4-U. Ask CJ
about her Buckaroo calendar or her latest book, as well as special offer for CSC Talk Radio listeners. Home, Home on the Range. Truth in Range magazine educates Americans regarding the bureaucratic invasions in our lives, the taking of our land, life, and our liberty. Bring America home. Home to Range magazine. Visit rangemagazine.com. Call them today, 1-800-726-4348. Tell them Beth Ann sent you Home on the Range.
For such a time as this, we know that the heart of a nation takes on the heart of its people. If the people have turned from God, the nation is doomed in sin. God is in control of all nations and their leaders. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The future of this nation is relying on the bended knees of the people, God's people. Will you accept this challenge to sacrifice 5 minutes a day to kneel and to pray? For such a time as this, Queen Esther was put in place by God to save her people. You have that same obligation now. Will you humble yourselves and pray, ask forgiveness, and trust in our God to heal our land and bring America home?
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I believe in the product. I really do. Everybody thinks I'm crazy and friggin' snake oil and all the rest. But I'm going to tell you something. I've taken all the snake oil out there, and you're right. Most of it doesn't work. But this stuff does work. There's no doubt about it. I've noticed a big difference in my mobility. You know, things that I didn't think were going to be possible a few months ago are possible now. And I try to sell it to everybody in my family. Thanksgiving, Christmas, everybody comes over and says, oh, you look great. I say, yeah, I'm taking this new stuff, Balance of Nature. So if you want to use me as a commercial, I'm a good commercial for this. This works. It really does work.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code RADIO5.
For centuries, those who raise, breed, and work with animals have been revered and lauded for what they do. Today, across America, the rights to own and raise animals are under attack by animal rights activists and their increased influence on government and non-government agencies. This onslaught regularly violates protection from legal search and seizure and a citizen's right to due process of the law, all of which are outlined specifically in the U.S. Constitution. Protect your animals, your animal enterprise, and your property from this abuse of power with a membership to the Cavalry Group. Membership provides immediate access to their team to protect law-abiding animal owners and animal enterprise against unwarranted search and seizure and false claims. They also work to protect their members' interests legislatively at the local, state, and federal levels. Get the shield that protects you, your animals, and your property. Join the Cavalry Group today. Call 855-748-4210 or go to their website at thecavalrygroup.com.
Listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Mark Mills. Today's show is brought to you by the CO2 Coalition. You can visit their website by going to co2coalition.org. I encourage you to do that and glean from the information that they have there. Mark's been in the, he's been studying this for a long time. And Mark, like I said when we were going into the break, I had no idea that the electric car's battery was so heavy. You know, I thought they were supposed to be making cars lighter so they ran more efficiently.
Well, they do. They lighten the car body up and use a lot of aluminum in the frame in order to accommodate a half-ton battery. And that's what. So the actual car weighs the same as an internal combustion engine car. But that's part of the reason they're expensive is that all the light weighting you have to do to make room for a half-ton battery. You know, your gasoline tank, when it's full of gasoline, weighs about 140 pounds. So you have a 1,000-pound fuel tank versus a 140-pound fuel tank. So you have to do something else to lighten the car up. So use aluminum, which, by the way, is very energy intensive. And another little factoid for you is that electric cars use twice as much copper as internal combustion engines. This is something that Putin's very happy about because one of the biggest copper mines in the world is in there. And also uses, they use more nickel because there's nickel in these batteries. The rare earths, which preoccupy people, are the least of it. You know, first, rare earths aren't rare. It's an odd name for the materials. They're called rare earths because they have rare properties, but they're quite common in nature. We just choose not to mine them. We used to be the world's largest producer of rare earth minerals, which are important for magnets and electric motors and telecommunications equipment. And they're important not because they're like iron or aluminum, because they have very rare properties. They allow interesting and important powerful magnets and electrical functions. But the Chinese decided they liked the idea of doing it, so they now produce roughly 90% of the world's rare earths, and we produce pretty close to zero. And they also do the refining, which we chose not to do. It's an important and difficult process. So that focus has been part of the discussion for quite a few years. What I was interested in was not just that, but, well, how much stuff do you need to make all these green machines? Physical stuff. The steel and the concrete and the glass and the nickel and the lithium, all the more common elements. And they're big numbers. Roughly speaking, you have to mine about 10 times more minerals and materials to produce a unit of energy using wind and solar than you do with oil, gas, and coal. 10 times more, which means, put differently, the world will have to increase its mining if we switch from hydrocarbons to green energy. It'll have to increase the mining of all these materials by at least tenfold, and it will lead to an increase in global mining arguably bigger than it's ever occurred in history. If you were an environmentalist, you should be a little bit concerned about that, given that if you're a strategist or strategist, as W would say, you ought to be worried about the import dependencies, because these are going to be imported materials. And if you're an energy analyst, you should be a little concerned, because instead of the very efficient way of moving gases and liquids, oil and natural gas, in pipelines, all of these energy materials for the green path are solids and have to be carried in trucks. They can be carried on ships to a point. Then they're trucked everywhere. And it uses more energy than pipelines. I mean, the end result of this is not that you can't do it. Obviously, you can do it. You just have to be aware of what you're doing. And most people aren't. I mean, let me give you another factoid. A small wind farm that produces, say, 100 megawatts of power, and that would be equal to something that would have, let's just say, 10 big turbines on it. That would be more like 20 big turbines. So 20 giant wind turbines, each the size of the Washington Monument, 100 megawatts. These are, you know, picture 20 Washington Monuments in a row. You can make that much electricity with a single gas turbine that's the size of a semi-trailer truck. But set that aside, the more important part are the materials. The big blades, the big plastic fiberglass blades on that one small wind farm last about 20 years and they'd be thrown out. They're not recyclable. They're plastic. That one wind farm has more non-recyclable plastic in it than all the world's plastic straws combined, which are recyclable, by the way. And that one wind farm is multiplied by 1,000-fold just to get to the number of wind farms the world already has. So we're going to be producing epic quantities of waste, much of it non-recyclable, as we keep expanding these wind farms. And that this not disputable. That's what will happen. The question is, what will we do? Well, we'll bury the stuff, because just like we do other most trash. But again, if I were an environmentalist, I would sort of want to at least think about that as a path that we're now choosing and pushing and subsidizing.
You know, one thing about the wind farms, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the birds that it kills, but the noise, sure. Nobody ever talks about the noise. They put out quite a bit of noise, don't they?
They do. I mean, the most troublesome part of the noise is what's called the infrasound, the low-frequency sound, like a vibration that people live near them. But most wind farms are sited remotely in flyover country, which people on the East and West Coast don't care about. So they don't care about.
We kind of relate to that, the flyover country.
Exactly.
Nobody cares about.
What's even more offensive to me than the fact that it's okay to kill birds with a wind turbine, but it's not okay to have a bird die if you're have an oil or gas well. The laws are applied asymmetrically, which is not logical. It's also immoral. But the sheer quantity of land that's used for wind and solar arrays is epic. And it used to be the case that environmentalists worried about industrialization of land. But in the case of using staggering quantities of land compared to oil, gas, and coal, they're okay. I'm not okay with that, frankly. I mean, I don't dislike wind farms. I think they're impressive. I've been at wind farms that stretch to the horizon.
Oh, they're awesome to look at.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
It's amazing. And, we may down the road get to where we can make these things more efficient economically and otherwise.
Well, no.
But we're just not there yet.
Well, let me correct you. No, the answer is no.
Okay.
We may not. We won't. I don't.
We may never get there, huh?
No, we not may never get there. We won't get
will not.
There. Because there's no path to making wind more efficient roughly than it is today. You get more wind power by using more land and more materials. The quantity of wind that's on the surface of the Earth is fixed. That's the planet we live on. And the ability to convert wind into electricity, the technology to do that is roughly near the physics limits. So it won't get better. It's just the way it is. It's kind of like saying if we wait for a while, technology will make airplanes better. We can fly to the moon with airplanes. No, you can't. Airplanes don't go to the moon. There's no air in space. That's physics. And this is the thing I've been trying to convince people of, is that the trope that's put out, and we've sort of implicitly accepted it, is, well, maybe wind and solar aren't good enough yet, but technology will make it better. Yes, it'll make it better, but it'll never make it as good as hydrocarbons.
Make it as good as, okay. I agree with that.
Yeah.
My point was that, it's not efficient right now, and they keep pushing it. And where you put the turbines makes a huge difference. There are some places like here, we don't have that much wind. On occasions we do, but we don't have that much wind.
Well, the proposal is we'll put the wind farms where it's windy, and we'll build transmission lines to bring the power to you. That's fine, but that costs money too. And the wind farms.
And they pay to do it. They subsidize to do it.
Of course. You're using, again, the people that are paying for this are the average rate payers. So electric rates go up to subsidize these expensive solutions, and the people who build wind farms are paid to produce power. There's really very few commodities on the planet where you produce it and you get a guaranteed price and the market is required to buy your product. That's what we're doing with the wind and solar. That is illogical, uneconomic, and immoral in my view.
Well, as I hear the music, at the end of this article, we've pretty much spent the whole time on this one article. You put the solution in there. There is an obvious solution. For every extra dollar of green energy subsidies, Congress could require that an extra pound of mineral be mined in America. Bring it home. At least we'd be putting people to work. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. We're headed into another break. I'm visiting today with Mark Mills. We're talking about our energy and the common sense of it all. And we will be right back.
As a business owner, when was the last time you asked yourself if you have the right commercial insurance coverage? You need business insurance to protect everything you're building. One disaster without the right insurance could hurt your business, and larger deals you're trying to close may require that you have it. We recommend CoverWallet for all your business insurance needs. In just 2 minutes, with their award-winning technology, they can offer you free competitive quotes from top insurance carriers nationwide. CoverWallet is help tens of thousands of businesses, startups, restaurants, truckers, construction companies, landscaping companies, beauty salons, consultants, and they can help you. No business is too big or too small, and it's a free call to find out. Protect your business. Get the right insurance for your business. Call CoverWallet right now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
When I first started Balance of Nature, I was hesitant, but 2 months into the product, I began to see the difference. And I have to really admit, I was totally surprised. I went from swelling feet to no swelling feet. The 1st of May was the first time this year I jogged in 3 years. and not just jog 3 laps. I did 17 laps. So I'm feeling alive and not sluggish and tired. I would really like to say you have to try it so you can see the results for yourself. Yeah. Even my girlfriend downstairs, I said, you need to try it. She says, I'm thinking. I said, okay, well, while you're still tired and I'm still beating you up the block, it's okay. Because that's all I'm going to do. I mean, she's taller than me and I move faster than her now. That's because the energy I'm getting from Balance of Nature.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code RADIO5.
Makeup America is a brand new line of makeup made in America. Ladies, did you know that most American beauty brands do not make their cosmetics here in the USA? There is no guarantee of quality and transparency of ingredients, testing on animals, abidance to health and safety regulations, or quality control within the manufacturing environment. The old saying, beauty is only skin deep, refers to what's on the inside of the woman. And as you know, what's inside your beauty products matters to your skin. Makeup America is made in the USA, and they pledge to you that their products are non-GMO, paraben-free, fragrance-free, and never tested on animals. Launch your patriotism with Independence Red, Lady Liberty Blue. There's a variety of nail and lip colors to match, and lip care. MakeupAmerica.us. Use promo code BETH20 to receive 20% discount. MakeupAmerica.us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. But up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 1-800-978 6168 and use the promo code BethAnn to get 30% off plus free shipping. And we have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. We've been visiting today. We've had a lot of fun. I've learned a lot of things from Mark Mills, and he is our guest today, and CO2 Coalition is the one sponsoring today's show. I encourage you to visit there at co2coalition.org. And, you know, Mark, I had the article of yours, The Global Economy's Fuel Gauge, and that's the one that I was looking at that you had a lot of information. You wrote that back in May, a lot of information about the pandemic in there, which kind of made me chuckle because I remembered my conversation with my daughter-in-law that's a teacher and how they were restructuring the school classroom, at least here in Missouri, and only certain places in Missouri. We've got it mixed up here just like everybody else. And putting the desks in rows, and this is kind of their new normal, and they didn't really like it. And I'm thinking, that sounds like that's exactly how we did it when I was a kid. But I think some things, I don't like the word new normal. I don't want a new normal. I want my life back. I'm going to kind of turn it over to you. I don't want to wear a mask. I want to get back to work.
Well, you know, a lot of people are afraid, and a lot of people are frightened.
Oh, yes, they are.
I have sympathy for that, and I am unhappy with the promoters of fear and the misinformation, and it's become highly politicized, which we all know. No. But my piece and my analytic work, as opposed to my personal wishes, which are just like yours, is that look, people will go back to normal. It will happen. It'll take time. We've had thousands of years of human history where we like to socialize. We like to gather. We like to have sports. We like to be entertained. We like to go out to dinner. This is not going to change into a new normal overnight. It's not going to be the permanent new normal. It's silly. Human beings haven't profoundly changed. They get frightened. Events do relax back to a sort of a norm, not a new norm, but to the old norm, because human beings really, whether we talk about love, war, hate, all our passions are the same as they were when Euripides and the Odyssey. I mean, Shakespeare. So when I look at an analytic work, say, what does that mean for things like energy? Well, you know, it means things that, you know, oil demand will come back. It already is, because people will drive again. They'll take vacations again. They'll fly again. They, you know, it'll take time. It did last time. After 9/11, it was 3 years before flying went back to the level of in the pre-fear from the 9/11 disaster and crisis and mess from the attack on the World Trade Center. People were afraid to fly, and they're afraid to fly again. I was on an airplane yesterday. It had maybe 40 people on it and could handle hold 300. I mean, it's just sad. But that will change. And what won't change, however, is the physics of energy. The way you fly airplanes is with oil, because it's the most energy-dense fuel available. Nothing else comes close economically or structurally. The way we'll make most of our electricity for the foreseeable future will not be with wind and solar. It will be with other things, hydro dams and nuclear power, burning coal, oil, gas, because they're far, far better. Not that the others are worthless. They just don't have as much value. Those realities are what I look at. If you're an investor, you'd think about these things and you think about how you could play it. But if you're a politician, you know, that's what they don't lead, they follow. There's a lot of emotion attached that need to change our energy source. Somehow all this other stuff is all old. It's time for new things. Please, look around you. How much wood is in the world today used in modern construction? I'd say wood is a pretty old material that we've used. How much stone do we use to build things? Well, stone is probably the oldest material we use to build things. The fact that something is old and been used for a long time doesn't mean it's going to be replaced. It may mean that it's the optimal way to do something. And that, in fact, is where oil and gas and hydrocarbons belong. They're optimal for many, many things and will be for a very long time.
You know, I'm glad we're not burning buffalo chips anymore.
Well, some people still are. They burn cow chips in India and Pakistan and poor areas, sadly.
Oh, well, I meant here.
Oil. Not here, thank God.
Silly. Well, I watch too many Westerns, I'll tell you. But anyway, the new norm, the one thing I liked in that article was that you were talking about the workplace.
Yeah.
The people are going to go back. They're going to find out that there's some things they've got to be at the office to do. And all these Zoom conferences and this and that, when you were talking about the expense of that versus actually driving to work, I thought that was extremely interesting.
Well, this is a revelation for many people that the Internet uses energy and requires physical training. What a shock.
I thought it was free.
I mean, it's free. It's virtual. Well, you know, all the computers' communication systems are built from minerals, including rare earths. They have to be assembled using energy. They use energy to run. The interesting question would be how much? So I put in my piece, and I've written this and said in other places, it's roughly using Zoom or video on your mobile device or your computer roughly uses as much energy as driving a mile in your car. So, but the difference is the mile in your car, you know the fuel because you see it right in front of you. With the Zoom or any video conferencing or watching, streaming a movie, all the energy consumption is invisible to you. I'm not talking about the energy used by the device plugged into the wall or your recharger for your phone, but the networks and the data centers and the transportation and production of the bits. So when students Zoom, when millions and millions and millions of students use Zoom and video conferencing and consume billions of hours of video conferencing, they are doing the equivalent of driving billions of miles in energy terms when they used to walk to class, right, on campuses. So, in fact, you know, remote learning arguably increases energy consumption of education for schools and decreases its efficacy at the same time. What a bad idea.
I would love to be a fly on the wall when you explain that to AOC. I would really like
it. Well, the answer
but, you know,
to
AOC is, you could you can tell, I mean, as a grandparent, when they had the Zoom graduation and the Zoom award ceremonies, and you could barely get in there because so many people were on the network. And, you know.
Well, it's obviously not as good. Most people are discovering that there are certain conveniences to telecommuting and Zooming, and it can be helpful. It can be useful.
Oh, absolutely.
But, But it is actually increasing if you talk to people. And surveys have shown this. It's increasing the net amount of time people are spending in meetings because they're very ineffective ways of sharing ideas and communicating. They're more effective than traveling for certain share of follow-up work or certain kinds of communication. Yeah, of course, it can be very, very effective. But for sharing ideas, for innovation, for creating team spirit, for all these intangible but real things about humans, video is terrible. It's not only not effective, it's actually counterproductive.
It is, and it's cold. You know, I still like the I know a lot of people shop online. They don't want to go any place. I prefer to go to the store and look at what I'm buying and try it on if it's clothes and analyze it, whatever it is. I really like the hands-on. And a lot of people are getting away from that. And I said, I kind of remember when it was a luxury to go shopping, and we all had our Sears and Roebuck catalog, you know, if we weren't able to go shopping. So, you know, you see a lot of things getting batted back and forth, and we're about out of time. Mark, I'm going to let you kind of wrap it up here real quick in about 20 seconds.
Well, I think the thing you put your finger on is the most important. It's the human factor, but what you like to do. What we'll do in the future will be a little different, but it'll still incorporate personal contact. And it'll just be, and we'll do both. We'll do internet shopping. We'll do physical shopping. We'll do internet learning. We'll do physical learning. That's a good outcome. And that's not a new normal. That's actually the old normal.
That's the old normal. And that's the normal we like here in America, because what we do here is we bring America home.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business. Grow common sense. And together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to beth@csctalkradio.com.
What if things were made in America again? We all complain about our products, even our food, coming from foreign lands and foreign laborers. But do we really understand? James Stubert didn't understand, so he dug in, and wow, he kept digging in. It all started with a light bulb. It held the label GE, but it read Made in China. Jim has done the research. Now you can have the answers in detail. Consumers can rebuild the middle class by buying things made in American communities. Find out why free trade resulted in 6 million lost manufacturing jobs and lower wages for most Americans. While free trade brought cheaper goods, we also had less money to purchase goods. That giant sucking sound sucked the life right out of American manufacturing. Order Jim's book today. What if things were made in America again? Send $24.95 to CSE Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Let's build it in America, buy it in America, and bring America home.
Do we lack enthusiasm and understanding of the word liberty? Do we weep for liberty which we have lost? Or do we simply not understand the substance and sacrifice for which we were once privileged? Liberty. Webster defines liberty as the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's life, behavior, or political views. Today we seem to want restrictions. Government micromanaging our lives? But do we realize the cost? Alexander Hamilton once stated, "There is a certain enthusiasm in liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism." As a republic, we the people must guard the liberty of others. We must continue the enthusiasm that will make men free. Visit csctalkradio.com, where Beth Ann puts enthusiasm and common sense back into American liberty as she brings America home.